All right, here we go. One, two, three. Welcome to the Tales from the Long Box podcast. This is Chris Mosby with episode 18, Our First Comics.
Our first time.
our four-color cherry was busted, right?
Oh, we're starting off good. Who else we got on the podcast here? Who was that?
That was Caleb. Yes. He's the one that brought the dirt.
Yeah. Don't forget to introduce yourselves, guys, here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, wake up.
I'm Caleb. Yeah. I'm the one with the mind that goes places. No, never mind. I'm Caleb Girard. Sorry.
And I'm Murray Fox.
Yeah,
and we're all here.
We've been kind of chatting here for about 20 minutes before we actually start this official, so if we ramble, please excuse us. It's one of those kind of days. Let's see. Today we are talking about our first comics, which would be, if I understood correctly, well, look, explain what we're talking about today, Caleb.
Okay. Well, I mean, everyone can say, oh, yeah, but you know, reading Archie or Casper or any of those, but I don't think any of us fanboys or girls or peoples, whatever the PC term is, would consider those to be their first books. It's probably usually a superhero book that you know, solidified our fanboyishness. You know, again, I'm sure I could pick out an Archie that, oh, this was the first comic I ever read, or a Peanuts or something, but that's not really where my love for comics came in. So I think it's basically where the love affair started.
Yes. All right, then. All right, who wants to go first then?
Tick.
All right, I'll go first. Let's see. My first comics would have to be, well, at least the ones I remember. And, you know, people who have listened to this podcast from the beginning, remember we talked about on our Zero episode, which Murray can get a chance to do that because that was pre-Murray or PM, as we call it. But I'd have to say that my first comics that I remember would be, of course, the Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes. Had those. I probably learned how to read from them. I always identified with Superboy and him hanging around with other people that was like him. Considering there wasn't very many kids like me when I was growing up, at least not until probably high school. I identified with that, so, and I remember fondly with the running around the house with the towel safety pinned around my neck, flying and beating up pillows that were imaginary bad guys, and being in the Legion with being Superboy and in the Legion, and so that would be definitely one of my first and my favorite. I still read them today.
Do you remember, like, the issue number or the story?
Issue number of the story, I would think probably it'd have to be one of the ones that is in the worst condition, I would imagine. So, let's see. Where are that shit? I don't know. I would think it'd probably have to be the one. Oh, the cover, it had that, I think it was the Legion tryout issue. Hold on, let me look at Comic Book DD.
Oh, with Comet Queen and Micro Lad, right?
No. Before, we're talking in the 70s here.
Oh, okay.
Oh, because I know what you mean. It's,
it's got that guy that ended up being the robot in it.
Well, that never happened. Take a drink.
Okay.
Jeez.
Hold on.
Like Calorie, Micro Lad, those guys?
No. Hold on, I'm trying to think. Okay, it was a robot, and the cover shows a bunch of Legionnaires laying down. And, of course, Superboy's standing there because it's Superboy and the Legion. And this guy's got like this. He has like this really black outfit.
Oh, with like a cowl. It's not, Oh yeah. I know. I know which one. Dang, this is gonna bug me. I know. Yeah. This is right before Chemical King died, I think.
Yeah, I believe it is because I didn't get that till later on.
So that's the early 220s.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it here. But anyway, he's got his hands, like, I don't know, about a foot apart, and there's this Adam-looking thing in the middle of his hands.
Yes, I know the issue.
Is that the Molecule Master?
Yes!
Yeah, that was his name. That's his name. Okay, here we go. What the heck is going on here? The search ain't working right. It's the search's fault.
It says here, Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes number 201.
Yes.
Exaggerated death like Ultra Boy.
That would have to be it. Superboy. Oh, crap. You got a link to it?
I'm looking. I don't. I may be wrong, but.
Okay, here you go. Yeah, it might have been the 200, actually.
200 was Bouncing Boy and Duodamsel Getting Married.
Yes, I have that, and I don't think it has a cover, the first one I have.
Yeah, 201.
Yeah, here we go.
Wildfire's going up against the Molecule Master, and Superboy lying on the ground.
Yeah, okay, Superboy's lying. It was Wildfire. Yeah, that's it. That's got to be one of my first ones. I remember that vividly.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember that. And then
now, was that fresh off the stand, or did someone like give that to you and it just happened to be
No, I bought that on that was on the stand.
Okay.
Yeah, because like Dad would take me to the newsstand every week and say, okay, pick out a couple, and it'd be Spider-Man, a lot of early Spider-Man. I wish I still had those. I got rid of all my Spider-Man stuff. Legion is ones, but though, yeah, those were right off the stand. All those. Yeah, let's see. 200 is the. Yeah, I have that one too. And I
there it is.
Legionnaire Bride of Starfinger. I have that one as well, and got that on the newsstand.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. Uh huh. I remember because that's. And then when I got older, and it was the last issue, and I had sporadic issues all through that, and those are the ones I had the most. You know, a lot of Superman and Superman Family and some Batman stuff, which I still have some of those. I still have a lot of those Superman ones. Actually, I might have sold some of those when I was young and stupid. But what got me really started on collecting the Legion was the Legion of Superheroes 294, The Great Darkness Saga, the last issue. I hadn't read any of the others before that, and by that I was absolutely positively hooked on that. And then I went back and filled everything in, and I have everything from 197 on up.
Which is actually, I think, when it became Superboy featuring.
Yeah, that's right.
Or starring, whatever.
Starring, yeah. Exactly. Which I might even had got that when it came out, but I remember the other ones more. Let's see, 199. Yeah, with the tier. Yeah, but I've got that one too. But I don't think I actually bought that when it came out. But 200 on up, sporadically. The very last one I got. When I finally finished it was 205. That was the very last one, and that's when I completed the run when I bought that. And that was probably it was right around the time I met my wife. I was still living in Missouri, so yeah, that would be that was the last one of that run. I had everything else. It took me 10 years to find that. We were in a convention up in Kansas City. The one before that was 206, and I had bought that at the 1996 Chicago Comic Con. That was the year before Wizard World bought it.
Good Lord, you remember where you bought these? I have no fucking clue where
those
I
two. Those two I do because it was the last two of the Legion run. From, like I said, from 197 up, and I have every single thing from that. And I've bought some Adventure off of eBay, but it's I don't remember them as well. But I remember where I bought that one for sure. Because I had actually both 205 and 206 was actually at that Chicago convention, and we were searching all through, and I bought 206, and I remember some guy telling me, I saw that 205 here just yesterday, so I had missed it, and it was probably 3 or 4 years later before I ended up getting that last one. So
205, I think, is a hard one to find too.
Yeah, I had it. Oh, I said, I probably paid way too much for it. But
why would it be so difficult?
I don't know. But I had, like I said, it was I had everything up to that, and it took those two issues were 10 years, the two of them together, and it was like 4 years in between, 3 or 4 years in between. I got between 206 and 205.
Yeah, I think 205 is one of the last ones I got in that one too. I don't know why it's hard to find. I don't know if it's because it's one of those 100-page giants,
mm-hmm.
or if it's just had a smaller print, or but I found it tough to find.
Actually, I take that back. It might have been a different one. 206, I remember, but No, yeah, I remember getting that, but yeah, with the Invisible Kid clones, Invisible Kid clone, yeah, I'm on it, yeah, but yeah, those, I would get those at the newsstand a lot of the times, or I'd help my grandma get groceries and she'd give me money and I'd remember buying those. That's when the New Adventures of Superman came out, and I remember when they raised it from like 20 to 30 cents and I about had a cow. 30 cents? Oh my God. Yeah. And I remember another one that reminded me is that way later on when they raised them to 75 cents, which was that spotlight on Starboy. And it was like the Legion of Superheroes one. It was way later. I don't even remember. But, and then that's the same month that Jason Todd became Robin. And I was going to get it, but it was 75 cents. And I didn't have, I was like, okay, I'm not going to get that. It's a new Robin, blah, blah, blah. I ended up paying like $3 late for it later on. But yeah. Yeah, those would be my first ones for sure.
I remember the price change, and the issue I remember that stuck out for me, it was an issue of Amethyst, but that's sad but true.
Yeah.
Golly.
Yep.
Remembering where you picked up your actual issues. That's
those two. Well, those that one is probably one of the few I do remember. Well, I take that back. I remember where I bought the Legion of Superheroes 294, the last Great Darkness Saga, because I got that off of the stands too. That was in a grocery store in my hometown. I remember buying that because I saw that, and I had no idea who Darkseid was. Darkseid, however you can say it. And I saw that with that big face, and I saw the Legionnaires like that. And I hadn't read one in a while, probably, because I wasn't getting it every month at that point. Because, like I said, that's the one that did it. Well, that and that X-Men and Teen Titans crossover were the ones that got me hooked. I started picking up X-Men and New Teen Titans when I read that. After I read that, Darkseid was in that as well. That's probably why. But yeah, seeing them all there with their hands up and Superboy. Oh my God, what Superboy is bowing to this guy? Well, I got to read this. And of course, that's one of the best, stories ever in the Legion. So yeah, I was hooked, and I shall ever be. I mean, I was already a fan, but I was like rabid fan after that. So that's my story.
Excellent.
Dang. All right, who's next?
That brings back memories.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember. I know I picked up lots of Richie Rich and stuff, but I don't remember. I mean, I know I had them.
Yeah, I remember reading Richie Rich. My grandfather, for a while, they had they would call it an antique split now, but it's more like a little swap meet junkyard kind of thing. Dad, we would go down there and get, they had minnows and stuff, and we would get them to go fish, and there'd be Richie Riches laying around. I'd read them sometimes, but I don't think I ever actually bought one.
I bought them.
Yeah.
But I don't think they were my first. My very first was a Batman.
Yeah.
It was Batman 266. It was from, like,
there you go,
1975. So it would have been six, maybe. And it's, I have no clue why I picked it up. I don't know if I bought it or if it was given to me, but it's Batman. He's Batman and Catwoman when she was sexy and purple dressed and not now when she's on like the black leather and the it's a purple dress, laundry.
Purple dress.
Yes. And I know it's not much of a story to write home about. It's some old lady is making predictions or something, and there's a train escape, and
mm-hmm.
criminals are escaping on the train, and I think Catwoman gets amnesia and
mm-hmm.
sort of helps Batman, and then eventually realizes who she is. I mean, it's a story of its time, and it's a good one.
Hey, Murray, you're kind of choppy. You hearing that, Caleb?
I am.
Alrighty, I will move the mic closer.
Okay.
It's a little.
I think it's more like a connection thing.
Oh. What? That could be too.
Yeah.
While he fixes that, I'm reading the synopsis of this.
Which
and,
one?
And Bruce Wayne was a cross-dresser in that issue.
Maybe Bruce was the old gypsy lady. Maybe not.
He disguised himself as wealthy heiress Bertha Carrington Bridgewater.
Oh, that's
right.
Is new. I never heard of that one before. Oh,
well,
man.
Give Grant Morrison time and he will dig it up, I'm sure.
Yes.
You sound better now, by the way.
Yeah, you do.
Good, 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 good.
So, Murray, we've told our stories about that. So how did you, on the Zero episode, how did you first get into comics?
I think they've always been around. Like, I would pick them up at the corner store or whatever. And I remember there were a couple of corner stores. There was one that was within walking distance, and I would hit that through grade school and kind of go on the weekend or whatever, and look through the spare rack and pick stuff that I liked. And then there was like another, I want to say it was like the Highway Market or something. We had to drive to get there, but they had like a huge book rack that was filled with comics, like from head to foot. And, it was pretty awesome. And I remember those Legion, I remember seeing some of those Legion covers on the bookshelf there. And I would pick up a couple of Legion kind of sporadically throughout the time. And then, Legion was probably the first comic I collected. Flash was up there too.
Yeah.
Batman was the first, but I didn't ever get into Batman. But he's the first, and he's still sitting in my little long box there. Legion, my first Legion was the pink cover. Superboy taking on the Fatal Five.
Yeah.
219, I think. And I remember reading that one and enjoying it. I remember picking up the issue where Wildfire and Superboy were both supposed to be leader. And, well, Superboy, I guess, won the election. And then they decided they weren't going to give it to him because he's in the past, so they made Wildfire the leader.
Oh, I don't remember that.
Boy, he was a bitch in that issue, wasn't he?
Oh, he was a lot.
Yes.
I still like, even though that's weird, it, as much as an ass he is a lot, I still like
that character. I mean, Superboy was a bitch in that issue.
Yeah, he was pretty sucky.
Which one are you talking about?
225.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that one stuck with me, too. I remember...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They had some great art on that one. I think it was James Sherman. Mm-hmm. I can still like picture some of the Dreamgirl panels. Shadowlass got some great moments in there. Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's probably why I'm such a Shady fan. She's in all the Legion books that I picked up in the early.
Early
years.
I have a thing for blue women, do you?
I do. I do. So I picked up that one, and then. Eventually, I got my very first, like the Legion book that got me collecting was 261, mm-hmm. the second part of the Space Circus of Death.
Oh, yeah, there you go. I remember that one.
Oh, my gosh, it's so beat up. Mm-hmm. Like the cover's barely hanging on. I can still see where my sister colored Brainiac 5 green. She at least colored him green because
that's good.
Something else would have stood out, but. There's like green pencil crayon on the cover. Yeah, I don't know what it was about that issue that made me decide, you know, over any of the others. But I loved the mix of characters. And from that point on, like Legion, I would go and like scout out Shortstop and find out whenever. Legion, I would then pick up like every month or whatever it was. I don't think at that point I had any clue that they came out on some sort of schedule. Like, I mean, at the back, they would often say, see you in the third week of January or whatever. But that, I don't know whether that always meant anything, really.
Yeah.
But, I picked up most of that run of the Legion up through just before Levitz came on, I think. I was picking it up, like, at the corner store. And I remember missing a couple of issues of the Reflecto Saga, and I had no clue how I missed them. I just realized that, oh my gosh, I've got a gap. I don't know what happened. And eventually I found the, we would go up to the beach every summer and they would keep their comics on the stands for months and months. So I picked up the missing chapters and got everything all tickety boo.
Yeah.
I think by the time Levitz came on, my dad had taken me downtown, and we realized that there was like an actual comic shop in downtown Kitchener, and I would by that point, I guess I was old enough to be biking, so I would bike down once a week and hit the comic shop and buy the new stuff and start digging through the back issue bins. Once I realized that there was a store that like sold back issues, I was like in heaven.
Oh yeah, I hear you.
Oh my gosh, I would pick up, and like thinking about it now, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, they had so many old issues. But at the time, it was like the early 80s, and and the issues were maybe 10 or 15 years old. So
yeah,
so they weren't that old. Like now when I go to the comic shop, the issues in the back issue bins are still like 10 years old tops, and they don't really excite me the way that the old shop did. But I could bike, I would go once a week and I would pick up stuff. And so Legion was one of the ones I would collect. Flash I collected at the corner store too, and I remember picking up a huge long run of Flash starting with I think there was one with the Trickster on the cover, and I think it was around the time that the Ringmaster and Golden Glider were introduced. And so I would follow those. There was something about Flash that I loved. I thought he was a cool character. There was something about the Legion that was cool. Teen Titans, I know I picked up. I don't remember when or where, but I know I had like that run of theirs when they came back in the late 70s. Mm-hmm. I would see like the ads in the comics for, like, I can still picture the ad for I think it was the Dr. Light issue.
Yeah.
Welcome Back Cotter was on the bottom, and Cobra somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, the first new Teen Titans one I got was right at the time Terra showed up.
Oh, yeah, yeah. See, that's when I got back into the Teen Titans, right?
Yeah, yeah. It was right when she had changed her costume. So it was right after they met. And she,
Yeah.
So that was the first one, and I was buying them on the, you know, when they came out from that point all the way up.
Yes, I bought that series. Oh my gosh, a lot longer than I should have.
We're all suckers for the nostalgic.
Yeah,
that's when we were all complete. When it was affordable to be a completist.
Yeah, no exactly. Kidding.
Well, back then, yeah, I would buy. Like, if it was a number one issue, yeah, I would buy it. If it was a miniseries,
absolutely.
I bought so many miniseries, I can't even begin to tell you how many. And most of them are gone now, but...
Yeah.
But if it was a miniseries, had to have it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Again, I mentioned it earlier, Amethyst. I mean, there's no way a book like Amethyst would fly nowadays, but it was easy to commit. You know, oh, okay, yeah, a 60-cent comic, a 70-cent comic, whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
It was easier to say, okay, I'll do this. And, yeah, sorry. You know, two X comics were out at that time. You know, one Justice League, one Titans, one.
In the 90s, and I was the same way. I bought just so much. I remember Blue Devil came out. Was it?
Yeah, just after the crisis, I was picking up stuff like crazy. Blue Beetle, Captain Atom, Blue Devil, Booster Gold.
Paris Collins did the art on that, but who wrote that?
Dan
Mishkin.
Okay, I can remember his art, but I don't know why I couldn't remember the other.
Yeah, Mishkin was also doing Amazing Man at that time, I think. So
okay. Never read that.
Oh. There is a gap in your reading.
I'm not surprised. I was very serious, superhero. You know, the only thing that looked kid-like or funny in any way, the only humor in my comic books, I want ass-kicking. That's all I wanted. So, you know, I was very elitist that way.
Yeah, I was pretty much stuck on DC. Like, that was...
Mm-hmm.
That was it. Now, I would get the Fantastic Four occasionally.
That is one book that I never have gotten into.
That was Burn Era, right?
Yeah.
No, when I was looking at it, it was way before Burn. It was like I would have been 6 or 7, and so it would have been.
Wow.
I can't even remember who was on it at that point. I eventually picked up all the Burn stuff, but that was after.
Okay.
After it came out, but
I don't know why. I just never did get into that.
Yeah, I remember the Fantastic Four.
I might have picked up sporadic issues of it if it related to something else, but like I think I got that one. Well, I don't think I have it now, but when. Jean Grey came back the first time. I think that was the Fantastic Four issue. Yeah.
Yeah, that was during Burns Run for sure.
Yeah, I remember the art on that.
Excellent.
Is that right? Did Burn do that issue where she came back? Huh, okay.
I think so. It was like... I remember. Well, and it was like it crossed over into the Avengers.
Right.
I can picture the issue in my head, actually.
I thought it was for some reason I thought it was post-Burn, but who knows? Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
How many times did she die and come back anyway?
See, I don't think I ever followed the X-Men all that much, other than when everyone was doing it, so I had to be one of the joiners. And
yeah. Oh, God, did I buy so much X-Men?
I don't think I followed it all that much, though. I remember You know what it was? It was the Wizard of Oz issue. There was an issue that had a 75 in it, and it was Paul Smith doing the art for part of it, and it was – who came after that? Was it John Romita Jr.? Shoot, I don't remember. I think they were saying goodbye to one artist and hello to another, and there was some sort of Wizard of Oz theme going on in it. And I remember Rogue being in it, and I picked up that one, and then I kind of followed it along for a little while, and then it just wasn't my cuppa. The X-Men are my thing.
I always loved the X-Men. Well, for a long, long time. I eventually sold every single issue I had, but I had a – yeah. Well, store credit, I bought more comics with it, so – You know, I put it back in the family. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
But yeah, I divested my stuff, all the Marvel stuff, I don't know, right before I moved in with Debbie before we got married, before I moved up to Washington State. So yeah. No, actually, I took it up there. I had them. I still had them, but wasn't collecting them anymore by the time I moved up there. Because I think it was after reading Wolverine fight Cyber Ninjas one time too many that I'm like, okay, that's it.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So. All right, Caleb, it's your turn.
Is it my turn? Okay.
Unless Murray's not done, I should.
Yeah. No, I'm done.
Okay.
Well, like Murray, obviously, you know, I could probably point to Richie Rich or Casper or Archie as, okay, these were the comic books that I first read. But the one that got me thinking I could read these on a regular basis was Superboy and the Legion of Superheroes, number 234, which was the wanted, dead or alive, the composite Legionnaire.
Oh, yeah.
234. I see it right there.
Yeah.
That was a funky one. That was ones I hunted down later. But yeah.
Oh, it was. And again, it's one of the. It was at an age. I think I was either 8 or 9 at the time. I don't remember exactly the date I got the issue, but. I think I was probably 9. A family member had given me a stack of comics, and obviously they didn't know what they were buying. They just grabbed a bunch at the airport and said, here, have some comics, and you're Superboy.
Bless
him. And I was hooked. I was like, who are these characters?
That's a good one. That would be a good one to get started for sure.
I'm mispronouncing names all over the place and just but loving it. I mean, and just the idea that all these characters get combined in this one big, destructive monster. And
that is a disturbing cover, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And it had me hooked. I mean, I do remember when we finally got back to the United States, I found, some crappy little used bookstore and they had, ratty issues and, old Budweiser boxes underneath the books or the records, the LPs, and going through, and I'd grab any issue of Legion of Superheroes I could, Superboy even.
Absolutely.
Didn't matter the numbers, because it didn't matter back then what, pretty much what order you read these things in.
Yeah. For the most
part, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, no, in the 70s it was all done in one, and...
Yeah. Though that's the thing about this one, is it had a, cliffhanger. Which I didn't read for years. Wildfire supposedly gets destroyed at the end of this issue. Boom.
Yeah. Not I don't know if it was the first time, but definitely not the last.
Oh, definitely not. No. And I had no idea how this story came out again till years later. When I finally realized that I could, go specifically to a con or something and look for specific issues. I want to get, Superboy 235 and finally find out what happened. And this, by then I'd been reading other issues, current issue, whatever was current at the time. But it hooked me. the idea of, you know, a shape changing kid,
yeah,
a kid who somehow, you know, again, and I knew who they all were and what their powers were and, you know, what their relationship to each other was, just based on the content of that issue and alone.
And they didn't have recap pages either.
Did not. This was Jerry Conway writing this thing, who continued to be one of my favorite writers over the years with his Justice League stuff that he did and his Firestorm.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize this, but it was drawn by Rick Estrada. I actually didn't know that till just now. What else? I think. I mean, it had one story, not one, like you said, Murr.
Mm-hmm.
And I was hooked. That was where my love affair started. Wow.
52 pages. You know, 52 pages for 60 cents.
Yeah.
That would be $8 now, probably.
There was 15
if Marvel published it.
I was reading something just the other day, though, and it was a huge issue, and it was less – yeah. Oh, I forget what it was. I want to say it was, like, comparable to Fantastic Four 600, but
yeah,
where Fantastic Four 600 was $8, this was not – oh, I can't think of what it was.
Yeah.
Something new?
No. It was something old.
Oh, okay.
Old.
Well, looking, one of the issues you mentioned was a 100-page giant or an 80-page giant. Yeah. It's like, wow, that was, you know, dirt cheap comparison, which, you know, the other book that I picked up at that time or was given to me at that time was Batman Family number 17, which was an 80-page book for $1.
Yeah. Oh, I remember my first dollar comic. I remember, like, walking down the street with it, showing it off to my friends. I paid $1 for this. $100
$100 pennies, yeah.
And it was
I'm in the big time now.
Totally. It was like Superman Family, the Prankster was on the cover.
Oh, it was orange. I actually miss those family, quote unquote family books, you know.
Oh, I do too. They had many of them.
I'm looking at this Batman Family. It had a cover by Kaluta, of all people.
Mm-hmm.
Interiors by Aparo. Also written by Jerry Conway. Wow, very cool. Appearance by Huntress, and oh my gosh, had a Justice Society story in it. Wow.
Yeah.
I
don't think I paid attention to the writers and artists that much until later on. On Crisis I did. More the artist, because, you know, Perez, but it wasn't until later on, probably till the 90s maybe, that I actually started paying attention to that more.
I think it was sometime when I was reading The Legion that I picked up on it, because I...
Yeah.
And it was during, like, because I knew the name of Jimmy Janes, like, that stuck out on me, and whenever there was like a Steve Ditko issue thrown in, I was like, what the hell? What?
Yeah,
what?
I don't think I ever really cared for his art.
Oh, you know what? I like it. I like it on Spider-Man. I don't even mind it on the Legion right now.
Yeah.
But back then it was so not what
so,
I was used to.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a problem with it now, but back then, and the first time I remember seeing his art was a Marvel title that had the Captain Universe in it. First time I seen Captain Universe.
Yeah.
I don't even remember what title that was, but anyway.
The only time I can take Ditko is Creeper Stories.
Yeah.
So.
That I can see that. That's a good one.
I don't think I've read any of his Creeper stuff. I would like to. I'd like to read his Creeper. I'd like to read his Hawk and Dove.
I've never been big on that character, Creeper. I like that series they did after 1 year later, DC's 1 year later thing, but they never did go anywhere with it, but I thought that was actually good. One of our listeners, James Reeser, he's a big Creeper fan.
was that the miniseries that was like maybe 8 issues and it was
mm-hmm. 7 or 8 issues, yeah.
And there was was the Creeper a lady in that one?
No.
No?
No.
All right.
It was pretty much the same same character. They just kind of retold it a little bit.
Right.
Let's see. Pre-Infinite Crisis. Here we go. New Earth.
So it was right after they killed him and they brought him back. They killed him in that issue of, what was that villain who got his own book for a while? Eclipso. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Where they were killing
him. Yeah, they did. And it was the DCU Brave New World in 2006 is when they showed the first snippet of it. And then they brought it back after that. Yeah, here it is, 2006. Welcome to Creepsville. They put a trade of it out in 2007. It was Steve Niles, that's who it was, wrote it. Penciler, Joshua Riviera, and Steve Scott. Pencilers. But yeah, it was a pretty good series. It was only, 6.
Okay.
But, it was pretty good, but I never did anything with it.
Steve Niles trying to make his first foray into mainstream books.
Yeah, I think that was his first one, yeah. And,
it didn't quite work out for him.
No. But yeah, that was a pretty good story. That's really probably the only Creeper-centric thing I read, and then he was in Outsiders after that. So...
I had this back when I wanted to write comics. I had this this great Creeper idea, which I never followed through on. Oh well.
Well, now's the time.
Now is the time?
Yeah.
Oh shit!
Because you know.
Okay, talk to you guys later.
The titles that are out now might not necessarily be out with DC later. So.
Well, I haven't seen the Creeper yet in the new DC.
Too. I was saying, there's your chance. That's what I'm saying.
Oh my God! Quick. They're just dying to get a story from me.
Yeah. Well, you never know.
It's true.
It's true.
They're firing people all over the place, so.
They're just being...
I'm sorry. Assignment changes.
Yes. Yes, assignment changes. Get that right now.
My bad. So we all started reading comics around the same time then, or at least it kind of got this the hook in us at around the same time, or at least the same age.
Yeah, I think so.
8 or 9, somewhere in that area, right?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. I was reading them probably when I was in kindergarten. I was reading them. Well, not reading them. I learned to read from them. But okay. I guess if you want to get technical, I was reading them before that, but it was more – it wasn't – yeah, I guess – well, they got – my parents got me started on them, but it wasn't until – like you said, 8 or 9 is when I started actually being rabid about it, quote unquote.
Yeah.
You know, so yeah, that makes sense.
God, I remember this this guy opened up this really crappy little comic store in a warehouse near in like the really cruddy part of the town I lived in, and I was there every week. What was it, Thursdays or Fridays, whatever day it was that they used to come out on, and I'd be there after school, and during the summer I'd have to cut out on whatever fun stuff I was doing and ride my bike over there.
Jeez. Yeah. See, I never had been into an actual real comic shop until I was probably about 15.
Oh, this wasn't real. I mean, I guess technically it was, but yeah. It was –
Well, they had other things there, but yeah. Where it was a place called the Book Barn in Joplin, Missouri.
Did they have cows and horse feed there as well as comics?
No, they did not.
Because that would be cool. Come in on your horse, grab a comic, lay in the hay and read it.
No. I don't even know. It got bought out by the people that worked for it. I might have talked about this before. The guy who ran it is named Ron Irwin. And he had been actually investigated in the death of several women of ill repute in Arizona.
Really?
Yes. Was later cleared of all charges, though. But he just happened to be there during the time frame some of these women disappeared.
What was his name?
Ron Irwin. Yeah, do a search on Google. You'll see.
Here we go.
And I'll admit, okay, I like the guy, and he's a tad creepy. You know, apologies if he ever listens to this. But he was the nicest guy. The cops was always trying to get him for, like, taking stolen property. But if he'd buy something from somebody, he'd always have video records, so it never would, you know, they couldn't prove it. But he was, you know, he ran that shop for a long, long, long time.
Here, I will only sell you this on videotape. Wait for it, please.
Yeah. But, yeah. Ron Irwin, yeah, check that out, and you can see a lot of that stuff. I knew he didn't do it, though he does look like, you know, well, people that, if anybody's listening from that area, you know who I'm talking about.
Actually, it was New Mexico.
Was it New Mexico? Okay.
New Mexico.
Yeah, he would go to a hot air balloon convention there, and he was like an amateur, well, actually he's a professional photographer now, that's what he does. He's like has a genius level intellect, I guess.
You mean snuff films, right? I'm sorry, Pat.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, that's bad. But he was, they investigated a bunch of his businesses and everything, and of course, Book Barn hasn't been open in a long time. But there's a, what is his, oh, Jeremy Hahn. You guys heard of him?
No.
He works for, Top Cow now, I think. He's done issues. He's done stuff on Batman and other things. But he's a comic artist. That's where he's from. He's from Joplin, Missouri. I actually met him a couple of times. He's like a year or two younger than me, I think. But he still lives in Joplin. And was almost got killed when that tornado hit. Yeah, he was in one of the home improvement stores when it got right before it got wiped out. I haven't been there since that happened, but I hear it's still quite devastating. So,
okay.
Yeah. But that's where I, that was my old stomping grounds. I worked there and went to school there for a long time in Joplin, Missouri. But anyway, enough about me. But yeah, that was where my first real comic shop was, and it's before I could drive. So I'd get my dad every Saturday and drive me up there, and I'd get stuff. And then when I became a drive, after I had learned to, you know, be safe and everything, and then they would allow me to drive up there myself, and I'd get a week's worth, which I found out later that the first time I went, they followed me up there to make sure that I made it okay.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yes, it is. It's also when
comics are totally educational. They teach you how to drive.
Yeah, exactly.
Taught me the bus system of Kitchener-Waterloo.
There you go, the bus system. Yeah. Anyway, good times, man. Good times.
So it was all superheroes again. I think it's like I said at the beginning, is that, you know, we all. We could probably all, you know, say, yeah, we had seen the, you know, Comic X, Comic Y, whatever before, but ultimately what has kept us, you know, for the last 30 plus years each reading these things are, you know, initially were superheroes, and then obviously that, you know, lately we've had other things come in, the independent boom in the mid 80s didn't deter us in any way.
Oh, no.
The black and white boom and the implosion after the, speculator market invaded our little fiefdom here.
I think the death of Superman is what caused that.
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah.
There wasn't anything before that really that I could think of, but I think that's what it is. Yeah. It's a perfect example of that. We were up visiting, where were we at? Probably up in Washington, or maybe was it Columbus? I don't remember. Columbus, Ohio. I was with the wife, and she was visiting family, and somebody, one of them said, oh yeah, we saw some comics the other day, and we bought them and thought they might be worth something, and guess what they were? Reign of Superman die-cut covers. All the whole set. And I'm like, oh, yeah. They probably would have paid you to take them if you'd asked them. But I, of course, I didn't say that. But you know,
I remember going over to someone's house. They had gone and bought, I don't know, some one of those image books where, you know, it's some Liefeld knockoff or Jim Lee knockoff guy, and they had like 10 copies of this number one.
Oh,
oh yeah, this is gonna be worth $15 next week. Like, okay, yeah. Good luck with that.
Oh man,
I'm not gonna be the asshole to tell you no.
And then let's not forget the Extinction Agenda with all the poly bags and all the X-Force cards and all that crap. Oh god, that was terrible, wasn't it?
I remember it. I don't remember it being terrible. I just remember it being too much. That's when, you know, there were four or five X-Men comics at that point.
Yeah, and it, of course, you know, you wanted to get one and keep it unopened. So yeah. I was anyway. Me and the guys that I was hanging out with got two of each because, you know, you want to read one, but then you want to keep it pristine in that wonderful poly bag.
Remember X-Men number one? There were five covers of that.
Oh, thing. Yeah, I know. I still got all those. I think that's one of the few I kept. That's when they were That's when they sold 500,000 copies a month. That's when X-Men was really big, and it was really only 100,000 because they had all those different covers. But I think I still have those. I ended up with like three copies of each, I think.
Yeah, but there was the best alternate cover to come out during that period. I think it was an Action Comics with Lobo, and it was a what are those things? Oh, it was a bagged book, but it it's gonna bother me. Where it had the little stickers inside, where you could put them on the cover and stuff.
Geez, I have no idea.
That was great.
I never even looked twice at a Lobo comic.
Lobo rocks.
I look at it and say, "That is poopo."
Great. Oh, that's right. You're not big into the parody stuff, so you wouldn't.
Well, no, back then especially. I can handle a lot. I mean, I'm okay with it now. But I was, you know, anything that made fun of comics would make me angry. You know, I was fighting for my geek identity back then.
That's what Lobo was all about, was making fun of, his big thing was Bite Me Fanboy. So.
Exactly. In fact, that was the first time I ever saw that character. I don't remember where I was at, but we were going and I had my parents, or I was by myself, and I found some comic shop somewhere, some town we were in, and it was a big poster of it, of Lobo, and it had him saying, "Bite Me Fanboy," and it's like, I hated that character from that very second. So I was like, eh. But anyway, yeah. But go ahead.
I remember my mom took me to Hawaii when I was about 14.
Wow.
My biggest goal, Hawaii. I mean, for freak's sake, it's Hawaii. It's, you know, paradise. My big goal was to find the comic store.
Well, I tell you, you laugh at that, but I still do that now. Anytime I go anywhere on a trip, I have to find at least one comic shop. That's like a thing that I do. My wife just despises it, but, you know, the first time I went to Vegas, I was there for work. We got there a day early, went and found a comic shop over there by university over there, and it was awesome. And then we took a taxi over there, and I thought, oh, we'll just walk back. And it was me and actually James Reeser was one of the guys with me from our Facebook page, and a guy I used to work with up in Washington, and we ended up walking 3 miles back to the hotel. In the worst freaking wind that you have ever seen. Oh, man, that was fun. I had bought the first – it was right after Green Lantern – Hal come back. It was after that series started, you know, started with him, and they had the action figures. I had the entire set, and I was like carrying that in one hand, and the wind was trying to blow it away. Oh, man. Good times, man.
You're a much harder core geek than I am. I admit it.
Yeah, I've It seems like I get more like that every year. But but let's see. When went to San Diego the first time for the Microsoft conference, same thing. I had my laptop with a GPS thing on it, and we went and found a comic shop in San Diego. And then the second time, me and my friend, well, a guy I worked with, Jeremy, we rode a train and out there and almost got – on the way back, almost got into a fist fight because some guy was causing a stir and it was pushing and shoving. And it's like we thought we were going to – it was like – and, of course, the two guys that are having a problem were on either sides of us, so we were like smack dab in the middle. But, yeah. Yep, every time. Laughing Goblin in Columbus, Ohio. Went there when the wife and I went to her high school reunion.
My.
Yeah, I'm bad about that. So.
Yeah. I still look in the yellow pages, but I don't actually go to the stores. I just take a look. Hey, there is.
That's how I found the book barn in Joplin. As I did that, we were visiting my aunt and uncle had a unfinished furniture store, and we were up there and I looked in the yellow pages and book barn. I actually looked for comic books in the yellow pages, and they had made it comic books in there, and then I made him go over there after that, and then I went there for years and years and years after that until I left Missouri. Actually,
unpainted Arizona. I'm sorry.
But sorry. That's okay. So, what else we got?
Oh, I got nothing. I'm done.
I think that's
done.
It.
Info dump.
Dumb,
all right.
Everyone's got a story. I would appreciate anyone listening to this episode.
Yeah.
Post your first book or your first the book that's that you went. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be a comic book reader for a while here.
Yeah.
Feel free.
You know, that's a good idea. In fact, I was thinking, and we can throw this out there, and people can comment on it. If they want to, especially Robin, our UK fan, send us an email maybe. Thinking about maybe setting up one of those Skype phone numbers and maybe have people call in and have a live call-in show.
What?
What do you think about that?
Sure.
We can just talk about whatever, and we have to set some time aside and maybe space it out after a couple episodes, or
and actually show up on time and like have a set time to start. I don't know.
I know we're kind of bad about that, and maybe that give me time to come up with some more topics because I've been really failing on that. If Caleb hasn't been working better, and Caleb and Murray both, and I just been kind of like, yeah, I'll show up and make shit up as I sit here, so that's what I've been
doing. Oh, they're all doing that.
Well, I know, but still, I have been falling on my duties.
There was actually no Legion of Superheroes 234. I just made it all up. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Full of shit.
But anyway, so I guess that's it for this week, and if you want to comment or contact us, you can try podcast at talesfromthelawnbox.com. We know that works because we've gotten email from it. And you can our most active forum is on Facebook. You can just do a little searchy for us.
Way active.
There's lots of jibber jabber this week.
Yes, I like to throw in topics in there and then just have people talk about it. I post a lot of crap in there, so if you don't mind getting lots of posts from it. I've got it where it doesn't show to everybody on my friend list now after some complaints from my non-comic-loving friends and family. so if you don't mind that, you can jump in there. We have a forum, but, you know, let's face it, nobody uses it, so, you know, we don't have to talk about it anymore. And you can post on the actual website. The comments are on there. I might have to have you, you know, sign up to make sure you're legit because we do get some spam there. But, you know, thanks for the spam filters that take care of that mostly. And you can follow us on Twitter, as a matter of fact. We have a Twitter account, and I post news on there, too. It's at TFT Lawnbox. And don't worry, Caleb, you don't have to get a Twitter account. So I take care of all that. Don't ever have it. very seldom to have anybody respond there, but you can still follow episode postings and little news tidbits I throw in there every once in a while when I see them, when I can slip it through the proxy at work, and so on and so forth. So I guess that's it for this episode, and thanks for joining us. Until next week.
Catch you.
Hey, guys. Hey, actually, I got to bail. Apparently, we're having – all my Christmas lights went out. I got to go take care of that.
Oh, uh-oh. That's right. Big.
That is big.
Catch you later.
All right. Talk to you guys.
Good night.
All righty. See ya.
See ya.